Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. God is good, not just summertime, but God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. Well, you all were at the last Sunday of 2020. It's been a strange year. I think all of us could probably say we've never seen a year like this in our life. But God is still good. He's still on the throne, and we should be thankful to have this day he gave us. We know tomorrow is not promised. And so let's give God glory, be thankful for what he's given us. All things work together for good, for them who love God, call upon his purpose. God is still in control. If you want to call this morning, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're very honored, you're a distinguished guest of our audience, and we appreciate you being on this morning. If you visit another congregation, you too are welcome to our call. Pray you open your Bible to Acts chapter 8 and study along with us as we get ready to study the Word of God. If you're going to call me, you're not a Christian, we are a member of the Lord's Church. You must believe that Jesus hung and laid and died on Calvary. Without ever seeing them in your eyes, believe that the Bible has all the right answers in it. You'll believe that he died, suffered, shed his blood, and washed his sins away in baptism in the same blood, purchased his church. Only one you ever read about in the Bible is the Church of Christ. The only one you ever hear us talk about on this call. Only one God, one Father, one Jesus, one church, Church of Christ. When you become a member of that, you hear, you believe, repent, confess Jesus be the Son of God before me and be baptized, and the Lord be able to add you to the church. That's how you become a member of the Church of Christ. Now let's study this morning from start to chapter 8 of the book of Acts. And just as a small recap, I just want to remind everyone that in chapter 7, we learned about Stephen, a man full of faith, who was stoned to death for preaching the truth. Now, standing there, consenting or agreeing, interestingly, to his death was a man named Saul, who we know as the Apostle Paul. Stephen, when he was dying, said in chapter 7, verse 60, that Jesus stood up and he said, lay not this charge, this sin to their charge. Later on in life, the Apostle Paul will be near his death. From history, we know that Jewish history records that Paul was beheaded. But Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:3, when some did stand with him, the Lord stood with him. He said, I pray God, lay not it to their charge. Similar to what he heard Stephen say that day. This is in 2 Timothy 4, verse 16. It's interesting point that Saul made the same statement as Stephen. Who be why die for the preaching of the cross, for preaching Christ. Later, Saul will be converted and become a preacher of that same Jesus Christ. And we'll learn about his conversion as we study the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says that Saul was consenting unto his death. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Right there is where I get my title at. Church, which was at Jerusalem. This is the first congregation of the Church of Christ. It's the Lord's congregation. They was in Jerusalem. That's where the church was at the time, because that's where the apostles started preaching the gospel. And then the persecution came upon the church, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So, we see Stephen preaching Christ has upset the Jews. Those in Jerusalem now taking it out on the Church of Christ in Jerusalem. As a result of this persecution, the church scatters to different places. The members of the congregation scatter, and only apostles remain. The Bible says, except the apostles. There was a large congregation, 3,000, then another 5,000 were baptized. So that's about 9,000 that we know for sure. So they scattered everywhere. The Church of Christ in Jerusalem is now scattered. And the Bible says, and the devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. They are lamenting or mourning, beating of their breast over the death of Stephen. This is a sad occasion for those who love Stephen. And know he died for preaching the truth. But Jewish history, brought my attention. Also, the Jewish history teaches us that Stephen was a young man in the early 30s, late 20s, early 30s, according to history, around AD 33-36 time period when he died. And so this is a young man that died for the cause of Christ. As for Saul, verse 3, he made havoc. This is what we know as Paul. Now Saul, he's called Saul here. He made havoc of the church and entered into every house. So the Church of Christ in Jerusalem being persecuted. Now we got Saul going to all those members of the Church of Christ in Jerusalem house. So he had all scattered with their homes. They're all separated. They're not all in one building in Jerusalem. They're in a different place like we are right now. Good example of that. When things can happen, you have to, something has to scatter and continue to worship. So they're doing things at home. We'll see that later on. They're going to go to some home because these people are in their home because their lives are at risk. They're killing them. It's like the COVID is killing people. Sometimes you got to isolate and protect the life of the children, the wives and children. You see these men out there preaching. You don't see the women out there. You don't see the children at home. There's safety. That's what we have to continue. We got a similar situation out here that we have now. COVID is an invisible killer. It's an invisible killer. That's what it's doing. It's killing people. And the people are dying. God gives them refuge and other ways to protect themselves. And that's something we should keep in mind. And but here's Paul. He's going to. Saul is going to the home, tearing up the church, making a havoc of it. Helling or dragging Christians. Helling means dragging these Christians to prison, locking them up for the cause of Christ. Man, we're not going through nothing like that as Christians today. Think about these members of the church, what they're going through right now. In verse 4, he said, therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Now, the persecution in the Church of Christ in Jerusalem was so cruel that they scattered and left going everywhere else. But notice what they did. No matter how bad it got, they kept on preaching the word. That's the important thing to listen. No matter how bad life gets, no matter what life presents to us, challenges, persecution, trials, the preaching of the gospel must continue. And we must continue to preach the word. Now, verse 5 said, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. This is important. The city of Samaria. So we got the Church of Christ in Jerusalem has sent members to Samaria. Members of that church or congregation are now in the city of Samaria. Now, think about it. If no one had left Jerusalem, if all of them would have stayed in Jerusalem with the apostles, then there would be no preaching done in Samaria. And they were there preaching Christ and then they were preaching Christ. Philip, this is the same Philip that was selected as one of the seven. Remember that? In Acts 6, one of the seven men, they were selected by the church to take care of the Grecian widows. This is that Philip. But look what he's doing now. Not only had that ministry, now he's preaching Christ. Where's he at? He's no longer in Jerusalem, he's in Samaria. Which means no matter what's going on, we have to scatter. And that's, sometimes we see people leaving congregations, going to different places as a sad thing. But remember, when we teach men to become preachers and teachers and elders and deacons and they leave us going somewhere else, that's okay because there are some things that they're learning that needs to be taught to other people. That's why we need gospel preachers. We encourage our young men not to stay in the walls of all right. Once you get trained to teach and preach, go out and do it. And so sometimes we view that as negative. I view it as positive thing that someone has learned how to teach the gospel or taught them what to do to baptize people, and they go somewhere else. And I don't lament over that. I say, well, the church died in the first century outside of the world, got turned upside down because people had to hear the gospel. If everybody stay in one place, nobody's going to go out and share the gospel. So, no, in verse 6, it said, people with one accord gave heed unto these things, those things which fill his faith. Hearing and seeing the miracle. That's key right there. Now, notice what he said. Hearing and seeing miracles which he did. Now, the people are listening to the preacher. And he's preaching Christ. We just found that out. But he's also doing something along with that. He's performing miracles. And the purpose of miracles was at that time, remember this if you're new to the call, that there are no miracles like we're going to read about now happening today because there is no need for them. At the time Philip was preaching, they did not have the New Testament in front of them to read like you and I got this morning. So their faith was developed based on seeing him perform miracles. They know that these miracles had to come from God. That's the only reason that they were performing miracles at that time. And the only reason Philip could perform a miracle is because the apostles had laid hands on him back in Acts 6, chapter 6, verse 5 through 6. We'll see there that that's where the apostles laid hands on Philip, and that's why he can perform miracles. Now, it's very important to know that there are no apostles living today. So, therefore, no one can have these same powers. Notice in Acts 6, verse 5 says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, and Philip right there. See that? Procurus, and Nicanor, and Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they prayed, notice this, they laid hands on them. So, my point is, Philip has the ability to perform these miracles because the apostles had laid hands on him. No one can do this today because, as I said, the Bible is complete and we can read it. Now, what that means, these people's faith was developed, or their belief was developed based on what Philip was preaching and what they were seeing. Now, today, now that we got the Bible, the New Testament is finished in Romans 10:17. It tells us how faith comes. So then faith coming by hearing, not seeing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11 and the verse number 1. The Bible says there, for now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. See that? Not seen. And 2 Corinthians 5:7. Apostle Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight. So how do we develop faith? Do we need a miracle to have faith in God? No. What we need to believe is the word of God. When you read, you believe. That's where our faith comes from. And without believing the Bible, you cannot please God. Without Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So how do we get our faith? What is our faith? Our belief system. Where did it come from? It can't come from mama. It can't come from daddy. It can't come from Reverend Joe, Father so-and-so. It can't come from Brother Brooks. It has to come. Your faith must be developed from reading the scripture. So that many people's faith are not based on scripture. And that's what we have to remember, is that the reason we preach the word of God without addition or subtraction, so men, women, boys, and girls can develop a belief in this book. And when you believe this book, then you believe everything in it. You obey it. That's how you obey God, because it's the word of God. Now, let's go back to Acts 8. Verse 7, he says, for unclean spirits, notice this, crying with a loud voice came out of me. They was possessed, their possession. They were possessed with them. And many taken with pauses, that means paralysis, and that were lame or some kind of way they had been lame, and they were healing people. Notice this. Philip is able to cast out devils that was possessing people. He was able to get people up who were paralyzed. They could start walking again. People who lame, their legs cut off, or whatever lame was were healed. Whatever hindrance they had were healed. So when you think about that, if you think about that, if people were doing that today, then we'd all know about it. We'd all know about it. It would be it'll be joy all over the world. People could perform these types of things. They can't. And so what's going on with these men that we see on TV and all that stuff is fake. They're not doing those things. If they were, we would all know it, just like these people here in Samaria, all of them know what's going on. That's a miracle to occur. You know, there's no doubt that God is involved. Now, notice this verse 8, though. There was great joy in that city. That city, there's some great joy. What's going on? What's causing all this joy to happen? Well, first of all, the church in Jerusalem, members are down there in Samaria. If they stayed in Jerusalem, they wouldn't have been able to accomplish this goal. So you see how God used us and scattered us everywhere? How many of you have been to several different places in your life and you've carried the same message with you everywhere you go? That's how we multiply. That's how the church grows. Church doesn't grow where everybody stands in one place. The church grows when people are scattered, teaching this gospel. That was God's plan. But there's great joy in Christ coming to a city. Christ is being preached. This is it. Many burdens are being met. People are being healed. Miracles are being performed in magnitudes. And people are just seeing some great things happen, no doubt. Children and parents are being healed. Mothers are seeing their children healed, no doubt. Men and women who've never seen are seeing again, like the man at the gate who jumped up, started leaving him, never walked since from the day of birth. Man, see what happened when Christ come into the life of people. Things change. So the Church of Christ in Jerusalem, members have scattered here, and Jesus is being preached, and Christ is being preached. Some great joy can come to this. You know, we need some joy in the world today, don't we? Great joy comes to the world. How do we make a difference in this world? By preaching Christ. That's how we make a difference, by living the Christian life, preaching Christ. That's how we make a difference in the world we're living in. That's what we're doing when we preach the gospel. That's how we can change things. Our change won't come from a vote, political vote. Our change will come from us preaching Christ and Him crucified. America needs great joy. America needs great joy right now. The world needs great joy. The COVID-19, think about all the hurricanes. I think they had 12 this year. It's devastating. All the things that happened back to back to back. Yeah, what a strange year they're calling it. Strange, unusual, unprecedented. All kind of terms are being used. Never before. People in their 90s, all the years I've been living, I've never seen them like this. Something going on here. But what's going to bring joy to the world is the preaching of Christ. Houston needs great joy in this city. And the way we can do it is by the preaching of Christ. But we got to remember, just because we're preaching the Christ, not everyone is going to obey Jesus. Jesus said that himself in even Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he didn't do the will of my Father. He said that. And Matthew 7:13, he said, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way to lead to destruction, and many will go that way. The straight is the gate, narrow is the way to lead to life. And few there be that find it. But that few can make a difference. It's like you do one here in Samaria. And what we have to understand is our mission as a congregation, as a church hall height, and a congregation, the Church of Christ and our height, just like the Church of Christ in Jerusalem, our mission, and our leadership have to understand our mission, our primary mission is to get the gospel out to the world. We should be focused on the word being preached, and whatever we can do to get it out to the world, that's our choice. That's my choice as a minister of the gospel, as a preacher of the word of God. I'm under charge to preach the word, to be listed in season, out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort, and all long suffering and doctrine. That's the ministry of the church, to make known the manifold wisdom of God by the preaching of the gospel. We should not lose sight of the mission of the church. That's one of the great things that I take much a joy in knowing that we are a very evangelistic church. We're known were baptizing lots of people. You know, so where y'all baptize all those folks? Where they're scattered. That's what the purpose of baptizing people is, not to blow a church and have a mega church. The purpose of baptizing folks is that they can be scattered. They can go out and share it with others. That's how duplication is coming. We're scattering right now. We're scattering through the nationwide gospel. I don't know how big is it. Not that I'm trying to get popularity for myself. That's not what I'm saying. As a congregation, our belief has to be much like this, and that we continue to do to find all kind of ways to carry the gospel out. So many people are saying, you know, things about online worship, and but you realize how many people are listening to me preach now because God shut down the bars, he shut down the casinos, he shut down churches, he shut down buildings, and people are getting on and listening to the gospel. 2,000 plus people every night, Monday through Friday. We can't see the benefit of what God is doing on our conference calls on a Sunday morning, 600 to 800 people. Many of our members have been baptized at Highland Heights by us. They ain't gone. They're still in Houston. They're on our calls now. If we look at just the negative thing that went on with the pandemic, we see nothing but negative. But look at the positive thing. How many people are going to restore because they stayed home and listened to a gospel call? Because they listened to the word of God now. They're restoring their faith. They're rebuilding their faith. They're reviving. They're coming back to the Lord. Some of these people are not going to stay home after we go back to the building. Some of these people are still on this call. They've been listening. Their faith has been renewed. They're going to be back in the building faithfully serving the Lord. I believe that with all of our hearts. I believe it's a great thing. So as we, as a congregation, we should be like the Church of Christ in Jerusalem. That's the way our leadership should think. Our brothers should keep this mindset. Where should our financial means be focused at? Primarily on preaching the gospel. We ought to do good to all men, but especially those of our house. Yes, we do good to the members of the church, but the mission is of the church is to get the gospel out to the world. Let's not forget that. Sometimes we have to understand that we're going to preach to many to find the few. That's where we at now. That's where we at. Well, it's there that we preach to 1,800, 2,000 plus people every night. We got all these different preachers coming and come. We reaching many people, but few go on back. But it's got to be done. It's the same thing which happened in the first century. Well, because great joy. The world needs great joy. The world needs to hear this gospel. Yes, Woody. That's why Jesus gave the command in Mark 16:50-16. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You know, the ones who want to be saved are going to obey the gospel. The word of God will accomplish what it set out to do. The people who want to be saved are going to be saved. And when you can joy enter into a person's heart, joy can enter into your heart when you know you have obeyed the truth. Someone calling this morning on the call, no doubt you got people that are in the hospital, people that are sick, people that are battling the COVID, people that are battling financial situations now, people that are possibly going to get evicted from their homes and apartments or whatever. Got a lot of things going on. It's called life now. So what brings joy to life? When one can preach Christ, one can obey Christ, that person can have a new beginning. That person can have renewed hope. That person can have joy. That person can have a peace that surpasses understanding of others. That's why Jesus must be preached. Somebody on the call this morning, where are you going? Why don't you surrender to Jesus? You surrender to Jesus so that you can experience the joy of being able, no matter what's going on in the world you're living in, you can still experience joy and peace that only God can give you. It won't come from miracles. It won't come from seeing miracles. It won't come from seeing people cast out devils. I'm not talking about that. Ain't nobody going to come to the hospital and get you out of the hospital. None of that. Prayer is what we use now. There's no men going to come. If they were, they'd be all these hospitals that with the ICU, they're packed with COVID victims. Where are those people that are supposed to have the power to heal? Why don't they just go get these COVID people out and get them off the ventilator? I know they can't. That's why. I just wish we would just use some compassion. seems like the world don't have common sense enough to believe some of this stuff these religious people are out there lying about. That's what they're doing with their lives. Now, so when a joy comes to the life of the person who obeyed Christ, the Bible also tells us that heaven rejoices. In Luke 15:7, the Bible says, Jesus said there, I tell you that likewise joy shall be in heaven. Notice this. Over one sinner that repented. One. That's powerful. There was great joy in the city of Samaria, but in heaven, one sinner obeying the gospel. One sinner that repents bring great joy. Jesus said more than 99 just persons who need no repentance. If just one person on the call today repents, all of heaven rejoices. Isn't that something? In Luke 15:10, he says, I say unto you, likewise, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. You know, I was I obeyed the gospel in 1985. I'll never forget that day when I walked down there and I obeyed the gospel. Brother Jim said, another precious soul to come to Christ. Anybody who knew John Tim, the father of Jim, that he had such a calm way of saying that it made you feel the joy of the heaven. Great joy was going on. The heavens rejoice. What a great day it is for a person to obey the gospel. And they told me that heaven, angels in heaven were rejoicing over one sin. I was thinking, man, me? I can make that kind of difference. Heaven, me, you know, you see yourself when you live in this world when you know you haven't done anything right, you go get baptized, all you see is you have this clear conscience of getting baptized, and we have this new story. But the idea that Tommy Brooks, out of all the people in the world, my name was on the billboard of heaven. The angel was seeing it and rejoicing over being at one sinner. Don't that make you feel special to think that day happened for you if you're already a Christian? The day you obeyed the gospel, your name. Angels were rejoicing. If you're on the call today, don't you want that moment? That moment comes when you repent and you be baptized. In Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter told them, repent and be baptized. Every one of you. Every one of you. That's what they had to do to have this type of joy. And then if you're on the call and you left the church, don't you know if you just come back home, the Bible says, Jesus said, the angels in heaven will rejoice over your return. Rejoice more than he rejoices over those of us who need no repentance. Isn't that a great thing? Jesus is calling. Calling those sinners. Come home. Come home. He's calling, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Can't you hear? Don't you hear him calling? He said, come unto me. All you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Somebody need that rest. Somebody needs great joy in your life. Someone who needs a new beginning. Why don't you answer the gospel call? Answer the call of Jesus. Listen to the preaching of the Christ. The Christ. Preaching of the Christ. That's what they're doing here. They're preaching Christ. The great joy is going on in that city. Where did these Christians come from? The Church of Christ in Jerusalem. Who's left in Jerusalem? Only the apostles. What are the apostles doing? And I say at the table, they're still preaching. See, they're still preaching as well. We'll find that out. They're still preaching, but now they're in Samaria. There's someone there. Verse 9. Go back to Acts 8. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, which is magic, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. He's using magic to make it look like he had some great powers. To whom they all gave heed. People pay attention to magicians then, and they may pay attention to magicians now. They do things like a major in front of everybody. It's trickery. And from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that a long time he had bewitched, meaning he amazed them with sorcery. Now, in this sin, this man named Simon, who amazed the people, who bewitched them for a long time. We're going to talk more about it next week. But we'll come back to Simon. In verse 12, he said that. Let's look at Philip. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Notice baptism. They believed Philip. What was Philip preaching? Christ. And the thing concerning, now we find out, the kingdom of God. The name of Jesus Christ, by the name of Jesus Christ, meaning by his authority, they were baptized, both men and women. So look at this. Something happened in this city. Not only is Philip preaching Christ, but he's preaching something else along with Christ called his kingdom. The kingdom of God, which is his church. Now, you cannot preach Christ without preaching his kingdom or his church. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So Peter was going to get the keys. Now Peter's going to use the keys to the kingdom, which is the church. And he used, the first time the keys was the gospel preaching. So he used the keys to the kingdom, became the first gospel preacher on the day of Pentecost, and he preached Christ and his kingdom, and 3,000 people obeyed the gospel. And there were Jews obeying the gospel. In Acts 10, chapter 10, we're going to find out the preaching, he goes down and preached Cornelius with the Gentiles. So that's the second time he's going to use the keys to open it up to the Gentiles as well. So here we got it. 3,000 were baptized, added to the kingdom, the church. What church they added to? The church of Christ. Where is the church of Christ located? In Jerusalem. It's the Church of Christ in Jerusalem. Now, if you obey the gospel with us, you'll be at the Church of Christ at Hollow Heights. Church of Christ at Hollow Heights. That's its location. The Church of Christ in Houston. It's a congregation preaching the same thing, teaching the same thing. So you have congregations of churches of Christ, but speaking the same thing. Now, Jesus, when he came to his kingdom, he told them in Mark 9:1, he said to his disciples, he said to them, I say unto you that there shall be some there, that there be some of them that stand here, which means they will still be alive, who shall not taste of death, see that, till they have seen with their eyes. They seen something. What did they see? The kingdom of God come with power. The same thing we just read about. Philip was preaching the kingdom of God. It came with power. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and I'm giving you, Peter, the keys to the kingdom. So when one, and the kingdom has come, and the kingdom has come, and the kingdom is his church, when one is baptized, he or she is delivered from another kingdom. It's the power of darkness, and they're translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, in Colossians 1:12, the Bible says there, Colossians 1:12, Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father, which made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. Notice this, watch this. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That's called the kingdom of his dear son. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of his dear son. The kingdom would come with power. It would be something they could physically see with their own eyes. They could see it coming. It came in Jerusalem. Peter preached, and the kingdom is now in place, and Philip is now preaching that same kingdom, which is the church. Notice it says, who delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us to the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption. How do we get it? through his blood. When was his blood shed? On the cross. Who shed his blood? Jesus. What is that blood going to do? Even the forgiveness of sins. Someone on the call needs to be delivered this morning. You need to be delivered from that power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. This word translated found once in the Old Testament, King James Version, sense of transfer, and three times in the New Testament. And what translated means to transfer the kingdom of Christ, his return to Christ, the kingdom of his dear son, or the kingdom of God. I'll say that. So some say that the kingdom have not come because Jesus said in the prayer, "Thy kingdom come." But Jesus said, "It's going to come while y'all living. Some of you are not going to be dead when it comes." Now, Paul says, translated us into it. Here. Listen to John in Revelation 1:9. He said, Revelation 1:9, "I, John," that's what he says, "who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom, and patience of the saints, was in the islands called Patmos." So John said he's in the kingdom. So he was in the church. He said that. And then, so let me remind us though. In Ephesians chapter 1, go there real quick. Ephesians chapter 1, we always quote this scripture in verse 21. Listen to this. Now watch this, what he says in verse 21. He says, "For above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, every name in his name, not only in this world, but also in that which to come." Let's talk about Christ. "And had put all things under his feet," watch this, "and gave him to be head over all things to the church." He's the head over all things to the church, which is his body. So he calls the church his body, right, in this verse. Ephesians 4:4, it tells us there is one body. So if the body is the church, then there is one body. Which means there is one church. Which means there is one kingdom, which is the church of Christ. How you know that? Because he's coming to get her. He's going to come get her. The church of Christ is the wife of Christ. Ephesians 5. Let's go there now. And verse 23. The Bible says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." See that? "Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be their own husband in everything." Husbands, love your wife. We think about it, he's talking about man and woman. "Even as Christ also loved the church," compares Christ as the husband and the church as his wife, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish." In verse 32, we drop down there, Ephesians 5, and Paul said, "Now this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." What are you saying? Paul said, "I was telling y'all that Christ is the husband of his wife, and his wife is the church, and she's called the church of Christ. That's why it's called the descriptive phrase of the owner. The descriptive phrase of the owner of the church is Christ. Christ purchased the church with his own blood. That's why they tasted the blood. They didn't die until they seen that kingdom come with power." Now, you say, why are you paralleling like this? Go now, if you know the kingdom and the church are the same, and the body got those three words, then you've got to understand that he's coming back to get his church. He's coming back to get it. 1 Corinthians 15:24, the same word has the same all rule and power. Listen to this now. 1 Corinthians 15. You just turn there with me briefly. Let's look at that. Because we got to know that this day, this one day, the Lord is going to come back. He's coming back. In verse 24. Let's go back to verse 22. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man made in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that day that of Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end." What is the end? When Jesus come back. Now notice what he's going to do. "When he shall have delivered up," there it is again, "the kingdom to God, even the Father, shall put all down, all rule, and all authority and power." See that? "For he must reign till he put all enemies on his feet." So he's going to deliver up the kingdom, and he's taking back the church. You remember We told the disciple, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. We've all said, me and my father in the house of Nineveh. And I said, I would tell you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm coming again. Received into my son. There it is. You're going to take the bride, the kingdom, the Christ, his church, those believers, taking them back home to the Father. Now, where there be no more crying, no more death, no more hospitals, no more pills, and no more bills. This is a great day. It's coming to take us home, y'all. That's why you don't ever want to leave the church. You don't ever leave the truth. But stay with it. Stay in the church. Don't leave whatever you do. Don't leave the church. You're coming back. In the moment of the twinkling of the eye, at the last trump, will you be ready? Will you be ready when you come back to get the church? I hope so. You do it by hearing the word of God, obeying the gospel, believing what you read in the scripture. Only chance we got to get to heaven. None of us are so perfect, y'all, and we're going to make it to heaven. The only way we're going to get there, by staying in the church, staying in the blue, stay in the light as he's in the light, and you maintain a fellowship. That's why Jesus died for us, to make it home. Let's go back and close this out in the action. We'll stop here in verse 13. Let's go back to verse 12, Acts 8. Now, notice this. When they believed Philip, underline it. When they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, conjunction with the kingdom, and the name of Jesus Christ. That's what they did. They were baptized. Now, this sounds just like what Jesus said in Mark 16:15. The command is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, which includes the Jesus, preaching of Jesus, includes the kingdom. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, every creature, he that believeth and is baptized, they go together. Just like in this verse. Those who believe were baptized. He said, Brother Brooks, you may be on the call. I just don't believe in baptism. To me, you're not a believer. You don't believe in Jesus either. I hate to be the one to tell you. Your belief is flawed. Anyone that can say they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in the command he gave, is not a believer in Jesus. That's just talk. That's hot air. You can't believe in Jesus, not to believe in what he taught. He was the one commanded baptism. So you're coming up with your own belief system, which is not faith anymore. Remember, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And that's what the Church of Christ in Jerusalem was doing. They were preaching the word of God. But the people who were being saved were people who would believe what they heard preached. And that's why I don't get too shook up over people who, you say, well, I don't, you're going to run somebody off by teaching them one church, or you don't need to do that, you don't want them to hang up, well, you don't want them to do this or that, whatever. Listen, let me say this to you. When people are seeking truth, they are listening. And if they believe it, they're not going to be upset at what they believe. If they heard it, believe, and they believed it. These people believed it, and they were baptized, men and women. They were baptized. Now, that's what happened today. I know we want our friends and family and loved ones to be saved. We all do. Of course we do. But some of them are not going to be saved because they don't believe. No doubt some of them are on this call. They listen to me every Sunday. They all got baptized. I remember the Church of Christ. They're not no believers. When a person becomes a believer, they will obey. If you're on the call, I'm not saying that to be mean or missing it. You got to think about this. You're going to die. You don't die an unbeliever. No, don't do that. The last thing you want to do is die an unbeliever. That's a dangerous way to go. Jesus, if you die an unbeliever, you're going to die in your sin. That's what Jesus said in John 8:21. He said in 8:21, in John 8:21, Jesus told him, I go my way. See, you going on. You shall seek me. And she said, now you'll see it. Where I go, you cannot come. And then in verse 24, he comes and tells him exactly why. I said therefore to you that you shall die in your sin. For if you believe not, now am he. You shall die in your sin. So am I saying this to be mean? No, I'm saying this. Got the people who can't come to grips with the truth of one church, baptism for remission of sin, all the things that are basic beliefs in the scripture, they're unbelievers. And Jesus simply says, you can't come where I am if you're going to continue to be an unbeliever. So well, I believe in Jesus. But there were people in Matthew 7:21 that said the same thing to Jesus. Matthew 7:21, this is a picture of what Jeremy's going to look like. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He that do the will of my Father. Many will say to me that day, Lord, give me that prophesied in your name. In your name, cast that devil. What the word they do? They're doing things in the name of Jesus. This is verse 23. Jesus said, I will profess unto them who call him Lord, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. They wanted to believe in Jesus, but they wanted to do things their way. It's a work of iniquity. You don't want to follow the law. You want to be like somebody coming to America. I want to be an American citizen, but I don't want to follow the American law. You got me going to be put in jail. Because the law comes with the citizenship. If you're in the church, law comes with that. You have to do what God, to be in the kingdom of God, which is the church, then you have to do what the law says. The law is the word of God, and the word of God tells us what to do to get into the church. And when we're in the church, it tells us what to do to stay saved while we're in the church. That's why we, in the members of the church, we need to hear these kind of sermons over and over. We need to understand why Jesus died for us. We need to understand the power of blood. We need to understand the safety within the ark, which is the church, you know, like in the days of Noah. There were 8 people in one place in the ark. That's the only people that were saved. The one place today, the Church of Christ. And so, then Simon himself, we're going to talk more about Simon next week. Then Simon himself believed also. We'll come back to him. So people believe, Simon himself believed also when he was baptized. So there it goes again. You believe in that time. He continued with Philip. So now he's going on now. We got another convert. We got a magician here that become a Christian. And he's a convert. Now he's with Philip. And notice what he's paying attention to though. And wonder, behold, the miracles saw which were done. So something is attracting him, not just the gospel. Not just the gospel. He believed in Jesus. He was baptized, but he's amazed at what Philip can do with these miracles. We'll see what the problem with that next week. But here's my point this morning. When the Church of Christ in Jerusalem scattered, they went everywhere preaching Christ and his kingdom, and people were being baptized. Men and women were being baptized. Who just called the call this morning will be baptized? Only a believer. Only believers will obey this gospel. They have to be believers. And when a believer obeys God, when one becomes a believer and they obey, great joy will come in their life. Great joy comes in their life. And just like in this city here in Samaria, great joy came because Philip was preaching Christ. Great joy came because Philip was preaching the kingdom of the church. And great joy came because Philip is preaching the gospel that is commanded by Jesus. As I've quoted this morning over and over, Mark 16:15-16, Matthew 28:18, he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Here was his commandment. Go teach all nations. That was his commandment. That's what they're getting ready to do. They got scattered from Jerusalem so they could carry out this command. It was all gone. So the persecution, God allowed that persecution on these Christians. And according to history, Nero and them were just hanging Christians up, burning them like candlelight. Who allowed that? God. So why would God allow someone to die? Remember, death, God doesn't view death like we view death. Death is sad to us. The Bible says, blessed. Jesus said this, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. For they rest. See, God don't view death as we view death. The psalmist said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death. Notice who is precious. Of his saints. So God don't view death like we view death. He viewed the death of one of us who are Christians as precious. He viewed death as a blessing to the one who died. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around that unless you believe there's something greater than that, this life. It is. A place with God. A place called heaven where the street is gold and walls are jasper. It's beautiful. But God would be there and wipe away all tears from our eyes. Oh, somebody on the call this morning want to have joy, peace, and happiness in Christ. They want to be blessed when you die. They want to be viewed, your death to be viewed by God as precious in the eyesight of God. Definitely. Who on the call wants that to be the case when you die? That you want God to see your death as something that's precious? Or will it be a sad death? When Jesus said, where I am, you can't come. Who on the call this morning would like to obey the gospel? Say, Brother Brooks, I want to obey the gospel. Hey, well, let me tell you what you need to do. Use your mind's eye to see God, who see your death as precious. Hebrews 9:27. God see your death as precious. He said, Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die. Jesus said, blessed are those that die. The death that's precious is the death of his saints. Psalm 116:15. Why is that precious? Look what it took to become a Christian, to become a saint. Here's what it took. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus said, greater love had no man than this, than lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is the reason that death of the saint is precious. Because his Son was precious. God's Son was precious. That's why he gave it. And he had a precious blood. His blood was precious. And he took God's Son. And they whipped him with a whip. They spit on him and mocked him. Put a crown of thorns on his head. Put a tree on his back. And marched him to Calvary. And there they executed him by crucifixion. Who did they execute? The precious love of God. What did he shed? Precious blood. What did he shed that precious blood at? From the garden all the way up to Calvary, there's a trail of blood. When he died, after that humiliating and painful death on the cross, the soldier went to his side, John 18:34. Pierced him in the side. I can't blood or water. That blood was precious. Just the precious blood of the Lamb. And that precious blood will wipe away our sin. Wash away our sins in baptism. When Jesus got up from the grave after he was buried, he resurrected. And when he resurrected with all power. And this is the command he gave us, that you go and teach him what I've done. Teach him this good news called the gospel. He that believeth is baptized, shall be saved. That's what we got to understand. And when Peter said, whereto, 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto an exceeding great and precious promise. Just a precious promise, that you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In 1 Peter 1:9, he said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So why is it precious? Why is it death precious? Because it took precious blood from a precious Lamb who gives us precious promises. There's so many people who go now outside of Christ. Will that be you this morning? You say, Brother, look, I want to be saved. Well, then you hear the gospel, number one, Acts 15 and verse 7. You got to hear the word of the gospel and believe it. Number two, you got to believe it. If you don't believe it, you ain't going to never obey it. Hebrews 11, 6, you can't have faith without faith in the body. Please, God, if you don't believe what's in the scripture. Then once you believe it, you can obey it. And then now, once you believe, you got to repent. Jesus said in Luke 13, 3, I'll tell you your name, except you repent. You're going to perish. In other words, if you're not in the church of God, you got to repent. Get out of the denomination of the church. Get into the one you can read about in the Bible. If you can pray the sinner's prayer, go and be baptized and do it the way God said. He never told you to pray a sinner's prayer except Jesus, the person to save you. None of that. He said, he that believes and baptized shall be saved. After you do it, you've got to be willing to confess your belief before me that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I said, this is it. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. After that, you've got to be baptized for under the remission of your sin. Acts 2, the verse number 38. Revelation 1, 5, we find that the blood of Jesus will wash away your sin. Acts 22:16, the Saul, who was consenting and making havoc of the whole church, killing people, helling people, dragging them out of the house, locking them up in prison, killing Christians. God knocked them down on the road to Damascus. And he was down praying, trying to be saved. And Ananias went to him, a preacher went to him, and told him to rise, get up. Prayer wasn't going to save him. Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Right there. The same man that was killing Christians became a Christian himself. You see, no matter how bad you've been in this life, you can still change. You've got to repent, though. You've got to see your error your way. You become a member of the Church of Christ. Be baptized. Start taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday like the Christians did in the Bible. Start calling yourself nothing but a Christian. That's it. And then do everything in this book. Follow it to the T without addition or subtraction. That's why the church Christ was singing without the help of mechanical instruments of music. Our song leader was singing this morning. He was leading us. Now we didn't have no band behind him because we don't find nobody in the New Testament to do that. He sing. We sung along with him in our homes. We're singing and listening and singing. We all should be doing it, by the way. Everybody should be singing when our song leader leads on because you're not at the building. You should sing it as a choir and worship. Praying and singing. That's why we sent the big books on everybody. So try to get the books, the supplemental books, and sing along with the song. That's important. The singing is important part of worship. You take communion every Sunday. The giving. All these things are required in worship today. And that's to those who are not on the call, who are not been in the Church of Christ. So what is the message this morning? The Church of Christ in Jerusalem scattered to preach the gospel. And when they preach the gospel, it changes lives. That's the message this morning. That if we, the way we can make a difference during this unprecedented, strange time in the world's history, the greatest thing that we can be doing right now, that's what we're doing, we are making a difference in the nation. We're making a difference in the world. And I hope you can feel a sense of joy to know we're part of a great congregation, as Jerusalem had, when the apostles were left behind, but everybody else went out and scattered abroad. If you're on the call this morning, you want to be a Christian, you want to be a member of the Church of Christ, you can do that. You need to be ready to sing a song of encouragement. David will sing the song. What we need you to do, if you have a prayer request, or you have a confession, or you want to be baptized, or you're a visitor who just want to introduce yourself to us, just hit 5 and then the star after the 5. 5 and then the star, and we'll recognize you. At this time, we turn the call back over to our song leader, and he sells invitation songs that I've sent to him. Don't you?